Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wants the young church in Rome to know that as people baptized into Christ, they are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. He also tells them that as people redeemed through the blood of Christ, they did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. The implication is that Paul gives his readers that there is something changed within them once they came to faith in Christ. But that even so, there is going to remain the temptation to return to the way they were. And that temptation will always be there. Before faith in Christ, before being claimed by Him in baptism, they were like us, like we were, debtors and slaves. Now, it can be hard to kind of think about what it means to be a debtor to our flesh. What does it mean to be in debt to our flesh? And I think a good and extreme example of this would be thinking of people that struggle with addiction. And it can be anything. It can be as drastic as an addiction to, say, heroin or to that morning cup of coffee and that caffeine that you need. When I don't have coffee or black tea in the morning, my body lets me know by the afternoon. That pounding headache that you get tells you, you are a debtor to your flesh. Pay me with caffeine. Some of you, I think, have that same kind of indebtedness, slavery, and servitude to caffeine. Addicts are indebted to their flesh in that sense. And Scripture speaks of us as being people that are addicted to sin. Without Christ, we are indebted to our sinful and that jealous self of ours. We cannot help but pay all we have to our sinful flesh, and it turns out that all we have to pay is our very souls. Now, in biblical times, it was common practice for those who found themselves in great amounts of debt to actually sell themselves to their debtors and become slaves. It was just the only way they could get out. Our sinful nature is insatiable. We cannot satisfy it. And so those found to be debtors in the flesh are slaves to their sin. This is a common thing in Paul's writings and the letters in Scripture. He often talks about us as being slaves to sin, debtors to our flesh. So Paul, in his message to the Christians in Rome in chapter 8, tells them that their old masters, composed of their sinful self, the world, and Satan, will do all they can to entice them back into slavery. Now this can seem like an odd concept, partly because as Americans, our image of slavery is, I think, different than what the image of slavery is in Scripture. We think of African Americans in slavery and in a very terrible conditions, treated as property, not as human beings. That's not quite what the image of slavery was in the Gospel or in the Scriptures. It's not as terrible as that, for the most part. Once free, though, in any case, who would want to become a slave once again? Once free, why would you ever want to be bound in slavery once again? And again, that can be a hard thing to think about, and it makes me think back to a movie that is kind of old now, called The Shawshank Redemption. Fantastic movie. It's about some gentlemen that are in prison together and their life in prison. And in this movie, there is one older man in particular. His name is Brooks. And he recalls that when he first went into prison as a young man, a teenager, he recalls seeing an automobile driving around town, and it was a special thing to see a car driving in town. As an old man, after years and years and years, most of his life in prison, he gets paroled, and he goes out, and all of a sudden the world is an active and busy place, and he can't understand that there are so many cars around, and he can't keep up with the pace of life. It is hard work, and he finds himself longing for life in prison once again. He cannot endure the work it takes to be free. He wants to be back inside the prison walls. Living life as a Christian, living as one led by the Spirit, which is how Paul describes it, is difficult. And this is why Paul talks about suffering in this passage. To be a Christian means to suffer. And it's not an easy thing. Suffering, though, doesn't necessarily mean persecution like many Christians around the world endure. Here, Paul is talking about a little bit different kind of suffering. It is the kind of suffering that we experience when we have to deny those sinful desires within us. When we have to deny the sinful self. I've enjoyed listening to the Minnesota Twins on the radio this year because finally they're doing good. The last 4 years, it's finally fun to be a Twins fan again. As you listen on the radio, like you do on TV, you often hear or see the same commercials over and over again. And on the radio, there's this commercial where a bunch of teenagers come on, and they all talk about how they love making plans with their friends. They love saying, yes, I'll go out and do this with you. We'll have fun together. But then they talk about how they simply don't know what to say when they are offered alcohol or drugs or cigarettes. When their friends try to entice them to do something wrong, they just don't know what to say. They don't know how to get out of that temptation. If they say no, they potentially lose friends. They are potentially ostracized, maybe even bullied. Being led by the Spirit is often like being a teenager in that sense. You're led to a place where you are required, desire to say no to our fleshy desires. Say no to those things that it would be far easier to say yes to. Most teenagers know this. It is far easier to say yes to your friends. Say, yes, we'll go out drinking. Yes, I'll have whatever you're having. Than it is to say no. To say no means suffering. It means the loss of friends. We are tempted because giving into our flesh is just plain easier than suffering and saying no. Denying our flesh. I think of it like being on a diet. We all know that the cookies we're going to have after church are not good for us. We're not supposed to have them. We all know that you're not supposed to have donuts. I love fried chicken. You know you shouldn't have fried chicken. We know the things that are bad for us. French fries, potato chips. But it is so much easier to say yes, to indulge, than it is to say no. To say no is to suffer and eat your broccoli. As the kids would say, the struggle is real. The very problem, the very real problem of being a debtor to the flesh, of being a slave to sin, is, as Paul says, it leads to death. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now remember, Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to those who are baptized. They're part of the church. They are those to whom God has given His promises, that He has called children of God, that He has sealed with His Holy Spirit. But that old Adam, that old Eve in us, loiters around and would love nothing more than for all of us to reject those promises, to push them aside, and to give in to our sinful selves. But you are not slaves, Paul says. You are not slaves. You are no longer in debt to your sinful flesh. On the cross, Christ paid the debt of our sin. And as we heard last Sunday, the Spirit of truth was sent to dwell within you, to walk alongside you, to be your advocate. You are led by the Spirit, and it is the Spirit of God that now works in you to do that which you could not do. As people led by the Spirit, given the Spirit, we rely on the work of Christ done for us on the cross. His victory won, His forgiveness given to us through His body and blood. Through Christ we are given life and victory over the finality of death. You are no longer slaves. But Paul has more than that for us. It's more than that you are just no longer not slaves. Not just free to run around on your own. Day by day we rely on the indwelling Spirit that lives within us. And listen to what Paul says about those who are led by the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, in our politically correct day and age, our Bible translations often have fallen into the political correctness that is required of this world nowadays. We'll see it from time to time. We'll see it when the text might just say brothers. Our translators want to be inclusive and say brothers and sisters. When our text says things like sons, sometimes our translators will say sons and daughters. This is an example of a little bit of that going on. What Paul literally says is, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, why is this important? And ladies, give me a chance here. You're not being excluded. Paul specifically uses the word sons here. He wants to call all of us sons of God. And in this case, he's not talking to just men. He's talking to men, women, children, everybody. You are all sons of God. And he uses this word specifically for a beautiful purpose. You are no longer slaves, but you are more than just not slaves. You are sons of God. And in biblical times, what was important about being a son? You were an inheritor. You were one who received the promises of the Father. Paul uses this term inclusively of everybody to tell you all that you are inheritors of God. All those who are baptized into Christ are inheritors of God's promises. You were slaves, but God in Christ has done more than free you. He has made you sons. Christ is our Savior. This also makes Him our brother. The victory given to Him is also promised to those who are led by the Spirit that was sent from Him. And as children of God, led by the Spirit, we are given now the privilege to cry out to God, as our text from Romans says, Abba, Father. You, as children of God, can address God as Abba, Father. Now, many have debated the meaning of Abba, why Paul would include this term, Abba, Father. I'm looking at verse 15. The word Abba is an Aramaic word, and it simply means Father. Some believe that it is a very intimate term on relation to like calling God your daddy. That's possible. I'm not sure about it, but it's possible. But what I am sure of is that we, as sons and daughters, by the Spirit of adoption, we are given the privilege to cry out to God with the very same words that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, used when he was coming upon his suffering on the cross, when he cried out to God, "Abba, Father." In Christ, you are made a child of God. You are made brothers and co-heirs with Christ. And in Christ, you can call to God with the same familiarity that Jesus did. Call him your Abba, Father. You are children of God. You are not slaves, but you are adopted into his inheritance, the inheritance of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And in him you are led by the Spirit and are able to call upon God, your Abba, Father, in all your suffering and in all your weakness. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Abba Father, we give you thanks that you have made us your children. You have freed us from slavery and adopted us into your family. And you have made us inheritors of the life that is to come. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to remain led by the Spirit. That you would help us in those times of temptation when we want to give in, when we want to do what is easier. We ask that you'd help us to endure the suffering as Christ endured the suffering. We pray, Lord, today and every day for an extra portion of your Spirit to come alongside us and to guide us. And we pray this in your name. Amen.